Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. So excited to be here to talk about video games, because guess what? I don't get to do that much anymore, so.
Aw.
But it's just been one of those weeks, man. Like, I got a little bit of Uncharted in, and, like, a little bit of that's about it, so.
I see. I've been playing, obviously, a lot of Uncharted, and I think we're actually in the same place, give or take, with Uncharted. But I also actually had a really nice Warcraft experience on Monday.
Nice.
Because on Sunday night, we didn't actually get to do our normal raid. We didn't have enough people show up, so we ended up just going and running some old content that I'd never done, because I'd never done the whole Thunder King raid from Pandaria.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and did that, and it was really, really fun, and I was like, maybe I should go back to some old content. So I actually, there's a website called, I think it's like Tesla Organization or something. Anyways, if you search for like Warcraft Mount Helper Tesla, you'll find it. And basically it just, like, you enter your character name and you enter your realm, and then it'll pull up all the stuff that you're missing up through Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll tell you like what order to run dungeons for, like, the fastest route to do all of the old stuff. So I just took a few hours on Monday and I just kind of like did really old content to farm mounts, and it was actually really relaxing and really nice. It was like probably the best Warcraft experience I've had in a really long time.
That's something I miss about Warcraft. Like, I did the math today, because I had someone sort of text me who used to play Warcraft with me back in the university days. And he's like, I got a confession to make. I'm playing WoW. I'm like, what? No, you're nice. Not. And he's like, yeah, he got Warlords of Draenor for free. And,
oh, nice.
And 7 days, I guess, from Blizzard. And I'm like, what promo was that? And he's like, I don't know. I just got an email. So I asked him, are you going to like resub? Because if you're going to resub, like, I might come back in and play around, like goof around a little bit, because he's doing the stuff that I like, which is the story content. Mm-hmm. And I did only go through Warlords once, right?
Yeah.
And there are two stories? I can't remember now. Like, there's
in
two
Warlords?
Is there two paths or no?
No.
No. But there's other.
Well, I mean, there's different zones that you can go through in different ways. Like, I think the only zone that I finished, like, actually start to finish was. Oh, I guess Frostfire Ridge, which is like the starting zone in Draenor, and Spires, I think, was the other one with all like the Arakoa, because I thought the Arakoa story was really, really cool.
So, it was cool.
Yeah, but it was like pretty much totally outside of like the main story of Draenor. But yeah, the Arakoa stuff is really cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a year and a half since I've played World of Warcraft. And of course,
I'm excited. Has it really been that long? Holy shit.
Like, that was when we were raiding and the raid team kind of fell apart. Like, right around Warlords was sort of falling to the wayside before ships arrived to the garrison.
Yeah.
Like, remember when we were all like, garrisons are the best. Woohoo. And I actually agreed. I liked garrisons. I liked that little, you know, playing around with ships and managing little missions and stuff. But it's been a year and a half. I got my year and a half chip. That's terrible. Why do I always make that? It's funny because people do get addicted. I knew people that have been addicted to WoW and you know, do or probably should get their chips for not playing. And I'm of the opinion that, like, I'm going to go back and play Legion, but there's no harm in like jumping back in early for a little bit, which I've always done, I think. Mostly your fault, actually. I think the last time before Warlords came out, it's like, you gotta sub early, get in there, get your feet wet, you know? And I think that was when we did like the Isle of something, and
the Timeless Isle. The Timeless Isle.
Yeah, I remember doing that and getting some gear and stuff, but there's an unhappy camper just outside my door. I don't know if you can hear that, but
yep,
it's fun, okay. Times. It's fun. See, this is what happens, folks. It's funny. I got an email for Zombies Ate My Podcast where someone said, I was tired on one of the episodes, and someone emailed and said, finally, we have recorded proof that Ryan is tired. He doesn't have the perfect baby. It's like, well, yes, that's true. He's awesome. But
poor Caden. He's totally the perfect baby.
He's pretty swell. Yes, I was going to snap a picture, but on Monday he had a onesie on that said, hello, ladies. And I was going to send that to you guys for ladies' night, but I fell asleep.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
I'm an old man now, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, like, you're gonna have to make sure that you send that in next week, because I know that everyone would love to see that, so I'll make sure to put it up on stream.
I will make sure. I'll say to Ashley, like, Ashley, you gotta put Caden's ladies night shirt on so we can get those hot ladies just rocking the heroes. And she'll be like, oh yes, explain. And it's like, well, it's this game where people play other heroes. It's such a good game. Oh, it's been a while since I played Heroes of the Storm.
It's been a while since I think either of us, with the exception of Monday, have played anything other than Uncharted 4. So I don't know about you, but the story is dragging a little bit. Like, there was kind of the big, not cliffhanger, reveal, I guess, in Chapter 15, I think.
Yeah, which is, like, is crazy... is early in comparison to the length of the game. And I'm pretty sure we're still not spoiling, right? Like, we're going to be spoiler free, right?
Yeah, for the most part. I think we obviously have to talk about the game, and you and I are both very close to the end, so there's going to be some story spoilers, but we're not going to spoil everything.
Like a reveal could be like, spoiler alert, there's a reveal. Like, some people would, if you're going in dark, a reveal could get those gears turning and be like, oh, crap. And I totally feel for those folks. So, okay, from here on out, if you're trying to go blind, like, now's the time. We're not going to be like...
This is what happens play by play. But, yeah, like, we're going to talk about it. So, spoilers be here.
This is no inside the game.
No.
But it could be if you go to patreon.com/thegamersin. Because I would really love to talk about this game in depth. It's like... one of my favorite games. Franchises, even.
Okay.
It's really? One of my favorite games, too. But
really?
Yeah. You don't like it? Like, okay.
Well, I still have issues. Basically, it's the same sort of idea as Tomb Raider, but I found that Tomb Raider controlled better. So, I don't like the controls in Uncharted as much as I did in Tomb Raider. I find them a little bit more janky. So... right. If it's harder to control, that makes the game a little bit less enjoyable for me.
I agree. I think that Rise of the Tomb Raider has very smooth controls, and in terms of, and the gunplay is much better. But
yeah,
I
the feel gunplay in Uncharted is kind of
it's never been the greatest. It's funny because Naughty Dog does a lot of these games. Like The Last of Us was sort of the same deal. Like, a lot of people weren't big fans of the shooting, but the stuff that surrounded it, the story, the characters, the emotion, was just top-notch video game stuff. So it's the same thing with Uncharted. And the reason I love the Uncharted franchise are the characters, are the moments, are the story, the experiences. The gunplay is never something that I say, the gunplay is amazing.
Yeah.
Because, Rise of the Tomb Raider blows it out of the water. But that being said, the only good character in Rise of the Tomb Raider is Lara Croft.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in Uncharted, you've got Sully, you've got Delana, you got Nathan, you got Sam now.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
It is. Yeah. I mean, the Uncharted story, the character, like, character wise, is very well fleshed out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about, like, the actual story that they're telling. It's a little bit predictable, or I find it a little bit predictable. And it's very much like it's taking them a very long time to find the actual thing that they're looking for. You know, like, they get to the point where they found where they think it is.
Right.
And then that turns out to just point them into a new place. And then they find another place that they think that it is. And then that points them somewhere else. And then that, you know, they find another place. And then that points them somewhere else. And that story, to me, gets old after two or three iterations. Like, I get that it not being in the first place you look.
Sure.
But it should be in the second or third place. Otherwise, it starts to drag a little bit.
I can totally see that from a gameplay standpoint, and from both sides, like both story and gameplay. Because from the story side of it, you've got this very paranoid pirate working with other pirates and wanting to protect what's theirs by having a series of ever increasing in difficulty puzzles and death traps and clues. And that's sort of the Uncharted franchise. You're going to find that if you ever go back and play the other ones, you have the same problem or same situation, probably is a better way of putting it, where it's a game of, oh, okay, we get to this point and this is where we need to be. And no, turns out this is just one of the places leading to the next place. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a common thread until you finally get to your destination, which in this game takes place far earlier than a lot of the other games in the franchise. And that's where, for me, it starts to drag. Where Uncharted 4 isn't the best Uncharted I've ever played, it's definitely the best looking, the most recent and best
it
Uncharted.
It is beautiful, I will say that.
They nailed it. But in terms of pacing, the ending portion, what feels like the ending, sort of drags a bit. And you're right, it gets a little predictable. But I've never really faulted games for being predictable, because, or stories in general, because, I don't know, I just don't mind when stories go, and I don't need to be, what a twist, every single game or story I experience. And in this case, it's more predictable because you kind of get the sense that these characters have lived this life long enough to, you know, it's like, oh, I know what Nathan's going to do. Like, he's going to do X, you know, and you kind of see it coming. And for me, it's not a big deal, but I know we've done the show for a long time, and I get the sense that when a story is predictable for you, it kind of, it doesn't do it for you, right? Like, that you're looking to experience something great and cool and,
well, for instance, recently, the ones that I've really liked, even though I found one of them a little bit more predictable, was Until Dawn. I really liked that story because it had different levels and it had twists, and it was a new way of thinking, similarly to how Cabin in the Woods was a new twist on horror. So I really enjoyed Until Dawn, and then I also really enjoyed Quantum Break. Because that one I did find very unpredictable, and part of that was the whole time travel aspect, but it was also interesting just because you didn't exactly know when things were going to happen, even though the story gave you the information of what was going to happen. Like, you knew eventually that Beth was going to go back in time somehow, but how that all came to be was the mystery that really wasn't solved until it was right in your face. So, you know, I found both of those games to be very, very entertaining and very good. And as much as I like Uncharted right now-ish.
Uncharted, yes.
Uncharted. I do like the game, but I really liked his change in traveling companion, I guess, shall we say?
Sure.
Post chapter 15. Yeah, post reveal.
Yeah.
So, because I hadn't actually seen her before, you know, like, she wasn't any part of my Uncharted experience. So it was interesting, and I like that, shaking it up a little bit. Not that I didn't like his brother. It's just, it was a nice change. It kind of refreshed the story a little bit. But I think the most disappointing part for me was when you get to the location that you're looking for, and it's this really, really cool location, but it's like totally destroyed. And I really would have enjoyed going around and exploring that area had it just been like abandoned or something, as opposed to destroyed and abandoned, you know?
Yeah. I get the sense that when you're playing all of the, again,
you know what
I'm
talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Like, the place where you get, where you're trying to go, and you get there, and it's like, oh my God, we're here at the place. We're getting to go. This is perfect. And there's a moment, actually, in that area where you kind of, you feel bad that it's destroyed, and you're kind of going through, like, oh, what it could have been like 300, it was 300 years ago, and it's been abandoned, so shit falls apart. But there's a cool moment
but
where
there's
you can
a difference between like something falling apart and something getting totally flooded out.
Oh yeah, those moments,
There wasn't a whole lot of area to explore because a lot of it was underwater, and that was unfortunate for me because I would have enjoyed seeing a lot of those structures fully, like I'm stumbling a little bit because I don't want to spoil it, but there is one part of that location that is still fairly intact. And going in there and seeing that was so cool that it made me wish the rest of it was just as cool.
Yeah, and there's some other moments in that area further on where you get some more story revelations about the history of what happened there. And to me, that was really cool. just a lot of the story beats in this game, while yes, could be a little predictable, like the revelations as to Nathan's past, like we've never gotten that, and getting that full story was really a cool moment. And also Nathan and Elena seeing their relationship front and center around all that's going on is also really neat, because it sort of goes full circle, right? When Uncharted 3 ended, they walked off into the sunset, and I think we touched on this last week, but in Uncharted 4, you get the follow-up to that, in which Nathan is falling back into this life and lying to his wife, and just
what happens post-sunset.
Yeah, and it's usually, if they don't make another game, it's like, oh, they lived happily ever after, but when they make another game, they're like, well, you know, they lived happily ever after, but Nathan's still an adventurer at heart and gets pulled back in, and I really like that, and it kind of makes me sad that, like, okay, this is the last Uncharted, you know? And I fully believe that this is the last one, based on what I've heard on how they've said this is a solid ending to the Nathan Drake story. And to me,
probably it's the last Nathan Drake Uncharted, but it's very unlikely that it's going to be the last Uncharted, because there are some interesting characters that are kind of on the peripheral of a lot of the story. Mm-hmm. And there's also, I mean, well, look at Mass Effect. Technically, yeah, that was the end. Mass Effect 3 was the end of Commander Shepard. It was going to be the end of Mass Effect. And then all of a sudden, oh, Mass Effect 4.
Yeah, but
it's no Shepard, but still. Yeah, like
with Shepard leaving, the next Mass Effect is going to have an empty hole for us that have grown to love that character. Or in the case of Mass Effect, love ourselves, because, you know, it's an RPG. And, you know, we love ourselves. But when another Uncharted comes out, like Uncharted : the character starring now that Drake is retired or whatever.
Uncharted Treasure Hunter.
Yeah, like something. To me, that's not as... I'm sure it'll be fun, and if it's made in a way that's similar to the other games, like, yeah, that'll be cool. Like, they did a similar thing with Infamous, where in the second one, the main character, you have a choice. He either becomes the ultimate evil or he sacrifices himself. And the game's like 10 years old, people. And then another one comes out from the same developers, and it's a completely new character set in the world, and you feel the actions of that previous title, but it was still missing that sort of connection you had from the other games, because that character was no longer there, you know?
I think there's a way to do those connections, though. And actually, right now, I have literally the perfect example. Perfect. I am watching Legend of Korra, which is the successor to The Last Avatar.
That's a really good example.
And it is so amazingly good. Most of the characters, including the Avatar himself, obviously, because he has to die in order to pass his powers on to someone new. So he was the main character, Aang, and he's gone now. But there is a new Avatar, and she's being mentored by Aang's son, and they're kind of on the peripheral of the new show, Legend of Korra. There are all of the people that you met who are still alive, so probably about half of the cast, and she goes to the spirit world, and she meets a couple of others, but there's all of these characters that you knew as kids in Last Avatar are now old generals, emperors, whatever, and leaders of their nations, and, you know, have influence in different ways, but they're still included in the Korra story, so it could be the exact same thing. Like, my grandfather, Nathan, gave me this journal, like, well, you know.
That's I mean, not to, like, well, anyways, we won't, but the game kind of already does that with Nathan's ancestors throughout the series, like,
yes,
the whole reason that Nathan's an adventurer is because he strongly believes that he is a descendant of Sir Francis Drake in the first one, and in the second one, he, you know, it continues onwards, and you finally come full circle in Uncharted 4 and learn a lot more about how he came to that realization. And that is just such a cool moment for, you know, for me as a longtime fan of the series. And this is obviously, this is another one of those instances where Ryan is just in love with this franchise.
Obviously.
It's like a Zelda.
This is Halo all over again.
No, this is not like Halo. Halo is a weird, like, Ryan played this when he was a kid, like, and you know, I see your problem with Halo now after playing like Halo 4 and 5. Like, I think maybe 3 is where it probably should have ended. Like, 5's ending is just like, okay guys, come on, stop this madness. But you know, if they did like Halo Fall of Reach, that was a really cool game outside of the Master Chief, but still fun to play with cool characters. And I'm kind of bummed that I'm probably, by the next time we discuss things on this show, I'm going to have finished Uncharted 4. And to me, that is kind of sad. That's like knowing that we're not going to get one, even if there is another one, it's going to be a long time coming. And that is kind of a bummer. And I'm like, I kind of don't want to finish it. I kind of just want to, well, I do want to finish it, but it's nice to know that they are going to have a single player piece of DLC at some point in the near future. And considering Naughty Dog completely nailed the single player DLC they did for The Last of Us, I'm also looking forward to that. But still a bit of a bummer to know that it's ending, but sometimes it's good when things end. Like, if you look at Gears of War, when they tried to continue that, it was like, this is not good, folks.
It's one of the reasons why I'm really worried about this new Harry Potter book that's coming out. Like, Harry Potter was so freaking good, but it was this nicely wrapped package, and now there's a new one coming out, and all I can think is, this might be terrible. Is she just trying to capitalize and make more dollars? Like, you're already the most richest person in the world. Just stop now. Leave Harry alone.
It's a common concern, right? And you can point to many franchises that have tried to do it forcibly and fail miserably. Like Gears of War, after Gears of War 3, it was running high. Everyone loves that series. So they come up with Judgment from another studio, and it's just not the same, and it flops and sells, and then the series goes away. But now you have Gears of War 4 coming in October. Like, is that going to be a good game, or is it going to suffer from the same, we don't need more Gears of War games? I don't know. And I feel your pain when it comes to Harry Potter, because those 7 books and 7 or 8 movies were really good. And you have the same issue on the movie side. You have that Harry Potter and the weird redheaded guy and the beasts, you know? I don't think that's the actual title. But you know what I mean.
Weird redheaded guy with the beasts.
It's the guy who yelled things, or maybe it's a different guy. It's not the guy that yelled things in Star Wars, was it?
I don't remember.
It was like super Nazi. It was weird. Anyways, I think it's a different guy, a different British guy. Anyways, have you tried the Uncharted multiplayer yet? You got to try it.
I have not, because like I mentioned, I'm not a huge fan of the controls. So I feel like putting myself into multiplayer is probably a terrible idea.
It's worth checking out, because they do some interesting things with it where it's all class-based. And even if you don't want to go up against real players, there's a really neat thing called Trials where you can go in and play against AI and sort of play around with the classes and do challenges and stuff. But it's really interesting. And if you have an issue with the gunplay and you don't really like the controls, you'll probably get in there and it's like, yeah, this is more of this. I don't really need to experience it. But having the game, and it's worth checking out, at least for the trials, to kind of play around with it. And there's some really cool mechanics where they give you like superpowers, basically. They're called mysticals. And you can there's one where you throw and then an item from the first game comes up. It's the El Dorado statue, and just basically like starts sapping people's energy. It's a really fun mode, and I really dig it. And I know a couple people in the chat room were saying, in the Discord were saying, they really liked it. But
I have heard good things. I didn't realize that there was any mode other than like a PvP situation. So knowing that I can go in and do some sort of co-op something is pretty cool, because those tend to be the kind of multiplayers that I really enjoy in things like this. I feel like Mass Effect was amazing, and we had so much fun in that multiplayer because it was just like the group of us versus wave after wave after wave.
Yeah, there's no, as far as I know, there's you versus AI, just you. I don't think you can team up with like co-op and stuff, but that stuff's more like challenges. And then there is the strict like 5v5 PvP, and then there's a couple extra modes like plunder, which is like stealing treasure, and then there's capture the flag. Oh, and there's this capture the zone as well. It's really cool, and it takes some of the best elements of the traversal, because it's not strictly gunplay, whereas in Call of Duty you're running around, like, sure, you're jumping on shit, but you're mostly just shooting dudes. But yeah. In Uncharted 4, it takes the traversal, the vertical landscape, and the rope swinging and the melee kills to and applies that to the multiplayer, where you can strictly just run around and sneak around and go around on cliff ledges and jump up and grab them and pull them off, and that's like an insta kill, or you swing along a vine and you like jump down and hit a guy. It's really satisfying.
You basically can do stealth warfare in multiplayer.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Well, that's really cool, because that's something that I feel like I would be better at. Mm-hmm. Just shooting dudes, I'm not very good at.
You don't necessarily need to run around just shooting people. Like, that's certainly an option, and a lot of people will probably do that. But you're better off trying to find a way to use the environment to your benefit and sneaking around. And there's even a move that's not in the main game where you charge up your lasso or your... What do they call it? It's not a lasso. The hook
grappling
shot.
Hook?
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. You can charge it up so you like swing shot. It. The hook shot, you know.
This isn't Zelda, Ryan, damn it.
It should be. I want to talk about Zelda. You charge it up, you basically swing it until it like makes a little like clink sound, and then you just whack somebody over the head and it's an insta kill. So they offer more abilities than just your straight up gun and run, but you can do that if you want to. But I highly recommend people check that out. If you're solely enjoying multiplayer or single player on Uncharted 4, it's worth booting up.
You know what I think everyone should go and check out?
What?
bit.ly/amovestore, because you have so many super cool glassware thingies that you can get all of your favorite Amove shows. You can get their logos on the glasses. So that is bit.ly/amovestore if you guys are interested in showing off your podcast pride. That is the best way to do it, and support the Amove shows as you do so. So you can get stuff from Into the Nexus, The Angry Chicken, and of course, The Gamers Inn.
Yes.
That brings us to our topic of the week this week, and we are talking about video game movies, because what? Nintendo made a very interesting announcement this week saying that they're interested in making movies. So, Ryan, Zelda movie live action could be a thing.
It could very much be a thing. It came from an interview with the Nintendo president, Tatsumi Kimishima. I'm terrible about doing that terribly. But he basically said that they're looking for partners. It's not the too distant future, so they're not talking about... Well, I guess 2020 is the soon future, which is kind of weird when you think about
it. I know.
But in the next 2 to 3 years, they're looking for various partners, and they're looking to do most of it in-house, as much as they can themselves. So they're pretty much looking for distribution.
Of course they are. They're Nintendo.
But think about it. Like, think about how great it would be if you had a amazing director partnered with the guys at Nintendo to make an amazing... Now, I agree with you. If it was strictly just Nintendo making movies, you're probably not going to get what you're hoping for. Nintendo has a way of sort of holding back their own properties with their Nintendo-like Nintendo-ness.
Well, didn't they already do a movie, the Super Mario movie? Was that them?
Well, that's the issue, right? Is because that wasn't them. They basically licensed out the Mario Brothers, and that is the complete opposite of what they want to do. They have all their own rights back for films now, and they want to do it in-house, do it right, similar to how Marvel's doing it. Some of the best examples of taking a license and making a licensed property. Marvel's the best thing out there. Disney with Star Wars would be probably a close second, if not trying to trump Marvel now. But it's kind of, and think of it this way, what if Nintendo partnered with Disney to make these films? It's kind of the dream partnership.
Really? I don't know.
You don't think so? Well, why not? Explain yourself.
Okay, because do you remember, I'm sure you remember, that fan-made live-action Zelda trailer?
Mm-hmm.
That to me, although I guess Disney did do Pirates of the Caribbean, which is kind of in this same sort of vein of what I'm looking for out of a Zelda movie, I don't want a Disney Princess Zelda movie. It's basically like my horror story.
Well, okay. Let's give Disney a little bit of credit, because Disney, I mean, Star Wars is pretty dark. Like, that episode, The Force Awakens, is kind of a dark film. And if you applied what they did in The Force Awakens to The Legend of Zelda, I think you'd get a stellar Zelda movie.
Yeah, I think it's probably just because Force Awakens is sci-fi, and I feel like there's a little bit more of a license for a darker, more serious film because you're dealing with sci-fi, so you're dealing with futuristic stuff. When you're dealing with fantasy, it's very easy to swing too far into the fairy dust and all the animals talk and la-di-da-di-da, and I don't want any la-di-da-di-das in my Zelda.
Yeah, I can see that. I understand that sort of issue, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but they did ask, well, are you talking about doing trying another live action movie? And he said they've done that before, so probably not a live action one.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate.
That does make me sad. But didn't Nintendo just partner with somebody to do the theme park in Florida?
That was Universal.
Yeah, so if they've partnered with Universal for the theme park, I would say it's very, very, very unlikely that they would partner with Disney, who also does theme parks. I think that they are probably leaning in the Universal direction because they already have that partnership there. I think that that's probably the direction that they would go.
I could see that. And there was those rumors, like you mentioned, about the Netflix Legend of Zelda, which would be amazing. And there's no reason why those talks did not happen.
I fully believe they could have been one of the various partners that Nintendo is currently talking to.
Yeah, and I think a Netflix Nintendo partnership would be perfect.
Because I trust Netflix 1,000 times more than I trust any big traditional movie making company.
Yeah, like Universal. What was the last project that you like? Oh man, that Universal property, that was amazing. You know,
Harry Potter.
Was that? No, that was Warner Brothers, wasn't it?
Now I can't, because I'm just thinking, because when I went to Florida and I went to Universal, they had Harry Potter Land.
Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong. I can picture it. I can picture, like, the weird Harry Potterized WB, like, going doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, no, you're right. I wonder if it was... Yeah. Maybe because Warner Brothers doesn't have a theme park, so maybe that was a partnership after the fact. I don't know.
Does Warner Brothers have a Warner Brothers Land, like a War Bros?
I don't think so.
No, probably don't think so either. It's interesting.
It's really funny because I can't actually remember. Now that I'm thinking, I've been to Universal, and I'm sure Josh is just like screaming right now. But like, I've been to Universal, and I went on all the different rides and stuff, and I can't for the life of me remember what like their most recent thing was that wasn't a cartoon.
I think Universal obviously has like a bunch of projects, but I just can't think of anything off the top of
my
head.
Like, they have Minions. Like, they did all the Despicable Me stuff, but that's, again, that's...
So,
anyways,
yeah. So,
point is, I think we'll probably see a Universal partnership before we see.
That's a solid bet, you know, because they've already formed a partnership there. There's some talks that they are comfortable working with each other. They're comfortable putting that IP in their hands and working closely together. And I mean, the fact that Nintendo's going to be doing it all themselves, there's no reason they couldn't just look at Netflix to distribution and say, like, we've made it. With a little bit of your money, we've attached a Netflix original to the front of it. It's worked so well for Marvel. Like, whenever you hear Marvel TV, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's like, oh, it's their Netflix stuff. People care about the ABC stuff, but it's almost
it's
like they don't care
as
about
good.
It. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. But the coolest thing is that they're actually looking to not only self-produce, but also self-finance through the sale they did with by selling off their stake in the Seattle Mariners, that baseball team. So they're saying if they have a good year, they could start making these films as soon as next year's, like, you know, not having them come 5 years in the future, but like soon, like have them going and have like your first look at them before we even forget that we had this conversation.
Yeah,
so they're saying like expect to see a Nintendo movie sometime within the next 5 years, which to me, that's super exciting. It's really cool.
Yeah, I hope it's as well done as it seems the Warcraft movie is, because looking at the trailers for the Warcraft movie and being a giant Warcraft lore nerd, just seeing the way that they've seemed to have put it together, I'm really excited. And actually, I haven't read it yet, but I actually have the book, the Durotan, like, leading up to it book. So I have to read it. I'm still in the middle of Chronicles. I need to read more. Less video games, more reading, so that I can get ready for the movie about the video game I love.
Wait, so you have to read a book? The book isn't directly connected to the movie, is it?
It's like a prequel, I think. So it says, from the director Duncan Jones, story by Chris Metzen, novel by Christy Golden. So Christy Golden, I love Christy Golden. Yeah,
she does and good stuff.
So Rise of the Horde, I was going to reread, and then I found out that she was putting this out. So it's the official movie prequel.
Oh, I did not know anything about this.
Yeah, and actually, when I was on Amazon, it recommended to me, apparently there's another book that's like the novelization of the movie, and I'm just like, what?
Does it have like the pictures halfway through, like of the stills from the movie? I remember always going in the bookstore, and you'd see these, you know, the book for the motion picture, and in the middle there'd be like these like mini postcards you could look at, like, ooh, I've never seen that screenshot yet.
Yeah, I don't know, but because it's not out yet, it's not coming out until after the movie. So,
So I've seen a lot of the trailers for the Warcraft film, and I think visually looks amazing, and they've nailed everything about it: the visuals, the sound, the actors, the acting. I'm really looking forward to it. And every time I rewatch that second trailer they put out, the more excited I get. And even the music in that, I know a lot of people like threw up their internet keyboards and was like, that music's terrible. It's like, for a trailer, it's not that bad. Like, it's not perfect.
It's trailer music. Exactly. The music in the trailer is very rarely the stuff that's going to be actually in the movie. I find that the best music in movies is the stuff you don't even realize until like you're like, oh my god, I'm getting very excited, and it's the music, you know. So trailers are basically the exact opposite of that. They want to smack you in the face with their music, because that's usually what's going to get your attention, because it's crammed in with everything else that's on commercials on TV, you know. So they need to grab you, and you're obviously not watching the TV at that point, you're playing on your phone or whatever else, so they have to be really
and I agree. And you know, Duncan Jones, the director, who's very vocal on Twitter about his movie and other movies and everything, he commented on the fact that the music in that trailer, definitely not from the movie, it's a marketing thing, don't worry. And then I think like a month later, which is unfortunate, he feels pretty upset about how his hands are tied when it comes to stuff, but he did release a track that's actually going to be from the movie, and I forgot to actually send this to you. I don't know if you've heard of it, but I just put it in the chat.
I haven't heard it, no.
It is Warcraft movie, or Warcraft music. Okay, and if you listen to it, you're like, oh, okay, this is perfect.
I'm going to see if we can just listen to it really quickly here.
Yeah.
That sounds like it. I mean, it is. I think the biggest concern with the music in Warcraft is that the Warcraft team and Russell Brower, who has been doing Warcraft music forever, wasn't involved in the music of Warcraft the movie. And I think that that's where the big concern comes. Not that, you know, people that do movies don't know how to do music. It's that people who do Warcraft music weren't involved in the Warcraft movie. So that is unfortunate, because Russell is... I mean, I've met him multiple times. He's a fantastic guy. He's such a sweetheart, and he is so good at his job. And to not have him involved in the movie, I think, is a big mistake, and I think it's crazy. But that doesn't mean that I'm not excited for the movie as a result of that, you know? It's just, it's one of those things where it wasn't done at Blizzard. It was done by Legendary Pictures, and they have their people.
Yeah, it is, to me, it was always odd, but it's weird. When you sort of look at these as separate properties, they try to go across the board, separate properties. So having a different composer, to me, is like, I wasn't surprised, but I agree, a little disappointed. And when you look, the last film that actually just recently came out that sort of saw a very close partnership, which was the Ratchet and Clank film, partnered with the game that came out shortly around the release of the movie didn't do quite as well, both critically and financially. But
I didn't even realize it was a movie until I think it was Nicole Spagg posted that she was there with her son, and I was just like, oh, I totally thought that this was just a game release. I did not realize that there was an actual movie tied to this as well.
Yeah, it was a partnership by Sony. That Sony's kind of going all in with the whole... They're doing what Nintendo's trying to do, but faster and hopefully... Well, hopefully Nintendo does a better job taking their time doing this, but Sony seemed to kind of just jump in. And they tried different things. There was like a direct-to-DVD Heavenly Sword film, and then they announced the Ratchet & Clank thing, which... was interesting because when they were building the game, they were talking about the movie studio in Vancouver sending finished models to the developers to actually port into the game and make the actual character in the game from the movie. It's an interesting sort of synergy there, working together to build these two separate products. But at the end of the day, when you don't have a good script in a movie, it falls flatter than a game with a bad script. Whereas in a game, you have good gameplay. Which was
so there's something to carry it, yeah.
Exactly. So, and I'm not worried about the Warcraft film in terms of story because I feel like Blizzard was involved enough on that end to really nail the story.
Oh, yeah. Chris Metzen doesn't let anyone touch Warcraft story except Chris Metzen.
They were pretty adamant about that. And that's why I really truly believe that Warcraft is going to be the first great video game movie and sort of bring a flood of this in. So I think Nintendo's kind of... You know, I'm not saying they planned this, but they're sort of at a good timing to be like, yeah, we're going to get into films. And then the Warcraft film launches like a month later. Like, I think that's a good timing beat there. But I don't know if you watched the Assassin's Creed movie trailer, but
I did.
Oh, man.
Okay. So your omans are good omans.
If you mute it, it's a really good looking film, but I'm not a big fan of Kanye West. And I also don't think Kanye West like fits with the Assassin's Creed. And if you watch the whole trailer and get to the very end, when the logo kind of zooms in, it's like, what is this, Mortal Kombat 99? What's happening here? But visually, it looks amazing. And Michael Fassbender is an amazing actor. So I have faith that film will look and feel great. But
did the Animus thing freak you out at all? Because it freaked me out. I was like, that's not what that's supposed to look like.
No, it's weird. It feels more like a prison, the fact that you're being strapped into this like robot arm and you're having to do all the physical labor as opposed to just laying there matrixed into the system.
Yeah.
It was creepy. I agree with you. But I don't know. The Assassin's Creed games have never really had a solid, really good story. I always believed that those games were backed up by amazing gameplay. The story was kind of just like, whatever. But you can tell a cool story there.
I did enjoy the story of Assassin's Creed.
Which one, though?
Like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to remember, because they are all very similar. But
Syndicate had a good story.
Like, yeah.
From what I recall of it. But that was also...
Black Flag did, too. Like,
oh, I did like Black Flag. I think that was a really good one. I remember
the first Assassin's Creed,
but
which is what the movie is based off of. So, like, this is the start of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, but I think this one's based in the Spanish Inquisition, right? And the first one was
the Crusades.
Yes, the Crusades. I remember that. I mean, Michael Fassbender is a great actor, and this is also another clear partnership between Ubisoft and a development company coming together to make this film. So, again, the creators very heavily invested. Ubisoft has already stated, we're going to make more films on our properties. Splinter Cell, Rainbow Six, Assassin's Creed, those are all coming. And I'm sure Blizzard's going to do the same thing when Warcraft...
Oh, Blizzard, as long as the Warcraft movie doesn't flop, which, let's face it, it's not going to. Warcraft still has, like, 7 million people playing currently right now in probably the worst content in the franchise's history. So you've got 7 million people who pay you $15 a month. You're going to have at least 7 million people go and see that movie. And then on top of that, you have all the people who have ever in their lives played Warcraft, plus all of the people that those people are going to drag to the theater. Like, the Warcraft movie is going to be huge. It's not going to flop.
We are
definitely seeing more Warcraft movies.
It's a solid argument, but I have heard the argument that gamers just don't go to movies. Have you not heard that argument? I've heard that multiple times when people are like talking about these movie films, like, oh, they put the dubstep in because the kids who play these games don't go to the movies unless there's dubstep in the trailer. And I'm like, who are these people? You know, like, who would say, like, I don't believe that for a second. If they had put, like, a Warcraft-ass Warcraft soundtrack in there, I would have been, like, day one. I'm still going to be day one, but I don't know. I hope it does really well, but I'm always skeptical when it comes to these, like, high fantasy sort of, it's a niche movie. Like, video games, yeah, it's a huge market, but when you think mass market movies, I want it to do well, so I hope you're right. But I have to kind of see how it goes.
I'm sure it's going to do well. I mean, Lord of the Rings did well.
Yeah, but that it's a mine, right? This is a mine. Like, that's one of the classic lines right there.
It wouldn't have been a classic line if no one had got, like, that was based on a book.
Yeah, and this is based on
a video game played by literally millions of people.
Well, okay.
Currently, not read by millions of people since 1920.
That's true. Most of the subscribers are still around, yes, as opposed to the people who read that book. Okay. All right. I see where you're coming from, but how do you feel about a Tomb Raider movie?
I don't know. I'm a little bit worried that the video game movie space might get crowded like the superhero movie space currently is.
It's going to get crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to benefit more by, you know, one or two releases a year, but, you know, everyone's going to jump on the Warcraft bandwagon after it does really well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them are going to flop. I think Assassin's Creed kind of looks like it might be the Batman versus Superman of video game movies.
Maybe.
And it's pretty Tomb Raider. I'd rather see Tomb Raider just stay in video games, because they've already had Tomb Raider movies and they were okay, but they weren't great.
What you're saying is they had their shot, right?
They did have their shot.
But what about the robot lady and Ex Machina? Like, that's the lady who's gonna play Alicia Vikander. She's gonna play Lara Croft. Have you seen Ex Machina?
No, and it's not that I think that the actress is bad or anything like that. I don't think that Angelina Jolie was bad. I think that they just, the Tomb Raider style just lends itself more to a video game than, because you, like, the gameplay really carries that story.
I agree.
Take the gameplay away and just have the story's kind of meh.
Yeah, I know, I can see that, and I feel like it's based on the reboot, so I feel like if they did it based on the reboot in that sort of survivor genre, it could make for a really interesting film. Like, when was the last time we've seen a film that was based solely on surviving a shipwreck, you know, besides Castaway, which was a fantastic film. But could you imagine Lara Croft, like, talking to a volleyball, calling it, like, Nelson or something? I think that'd be really cool. But,
oh man, besides
Zelda, okay,
we final, will agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's fine. It's like the motto of the show. But besides Zelda, your obvious choice, next, you know, Warcraft as amazing. What is the next video game property you want to see made into the perfect film?
Ooh.
It's got to be a good... Just assume it's going to be the best adaptation ever. What film? What property do you want it to be?
Is it allowed to be Blizzard again? Because totally StarCraft. Totally StarCraft.
Okay, if it's not... Okay, another cat. If it's not a Blizzard title, because, like, okay, if they make millions off of Warcraft, like, I don't know, let's do StarCraft. Let's do Into the Nexus, or no, Heroes of the Storm. They just do a movie based on an A-Move TV podcast.
Overwatch?
That's still...
I know. I'm just messing with you.
They've already done that. It's amazing.
Overwatch doesn't really have any story in the game at all.
Ooh, I don't know. Interesting ones in the chat room.
I think, yeah, Mass Effect is a really, really, really good choice.
Mm-hmm. I believe Mass Effect has... The rights have been purchased, and it's been in limbo for quite a while.
Yeah.
But it is, like, sort of percolating. So that's a
good
one.
So we could see that. So what about you?
Man, like, along those lines, I would love to see a really well-done Halo film. Like, just nailed it. That would be a great sci-fi flick, especially if they expanded upon some of the story that gets left in the books from the first game. But again, it's something they've tried to do and maybe could get rebooted. Like, the properties that they have made products based on the Halo franchise, but again, it's never amazing. It's always just, yep, they turned it into a TV show, they turned it into a movie. This is kind of serviceable, but it was totally skippable. Mm-hmm. But a Halo movie, Master Chief, Cortana, Halo, nailed it. that would be amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'd probably go see a Halo movie.
Yeah. I mean, like, probably better than playing through Halo again, right?
Exactly.
Road to Halo the movie. Oh, it's happening.
No. God, no. on that note, we wanted to remind everyone that we have our patron hangout and game night tomorrow, Thursday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. That'll be over on twitch.tv/JossPlays. If you'd like to support the show, head on over to patreon.com/thegamersin, which is where the information is, and you guys can tell us what you want to play tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Do we have anything picked for tomorrow?
I literally posted this right before we started, so
okay.
That's my bad, folks. But get in there, vote. Last week we played.
We tried to play Smite.
Did we ever fix Smite?
No.
We didn't even talk about that on the show. We gave them a pass, Jocelyn. Why?
I know. I don't know. Okay, so we're going to talk about this really quickly because I'm actually really pissed off because I am the biggest champion of Smite for the last 2 years, 3 years, however the hell long we've been playing. It feels like forever. Love that game. Except apparently there's been some bug with their freaking game since, I think it was the first post I saw was January or February of 2014. So over 2 years, people have been having this bug where everything on your keyboard works except for your movement keys. And if you plug a controller in, the controller will work and the controller will let you move. But for some reason, your movement keys don't work. It doesn't matter if you reset. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you uninstall and reinstall the game. You can wipe everything. It just, for some reason, this bug is just in their code. And it affects some people and not other people. And it's all over the forums. Everyone being like, this random thing happened to me. And then there's another post a few weeks later being like, well, still hasn't fixed itself. So I guess I just don't play Smite anymore. And no responses from Hi-Rez. Just like, WTF, if this is something that your fans have been having problems with for 2+ years, effing fix it.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is that I've had it before and have been able to resolve it within the match by changing resolutions or alt-tabbing or even quitting the game and booting it back up. But both of us had the issue, and both of us couldn't fix it. We troubleshooted, played with the controller for an hour, and then we were finally like, you know what? If we can't play it the way we want to play it, we're done, you know, until they fix it. And I've had a couple experiences with PC games like that, like Dungeon Defenders 2. We had some really good times with it, and then it just went to crap. It just would not appease us, you know, it would not work. But Rocket League, a solid game that is always there for a good time.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the response from Hi-Rez on Twitter, I never got a response from the main account, but I did get a response from, I want to say it wasn't Hi-Rez Kelly, because I don't even know if she's at Hi-Rez anymore, but it was a Hi-Rez community person anyway, who said basically put in a bug report or something. And I was just like, you know what? That's not actually good enough, because it's not like this is the first time that this has come up. I'm not the only person that this has happened to. Why is there not a quick fix, a hot fix for this issue? Because it's been around for literally years. Yeah, so
it's ridiculous.
If there is a fix, why is it not posted all over the forums? Why is it not easy? And why isn't it just hot fixed right out of the game? Like, I don't understand. So yeah. Hi-Rez, grr, you are in my bad books now.
Yeah, it's one of those games that we would always like, well, no one suggested anything, or people have gone in there like, I haven't played Smite in a while, so we play Smite. But yeah, it's unfortunate, and hope maybe it'll be resolved for this week, so I might check it out and then let people know.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that pretty much does it for us tonight. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including The Angry Nerd, Into the Nexus, Overwatchers, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at JossPlays. Ryan is at RMurphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AmoveTV. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know what you think about video games being made into movies, please do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at The Gamers Inn. And remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.